But as we think about this morning, Simeon, how about you kick us off of where we're headed?
Well, today definitely feels like a family gathering. We have family and friends and around us, and there's an exciting joy in the air. For my family, when we get together for family gatherings, they're usually for the big three holidays, Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. And usually at these gatherings, the adults will gather inside and they'll talk about things, and then us kids will go outside and we'll play soccer or football, regardless of the weather. And then is my favorite part, the food.
Generally, so, I mean, we're a lot alike.
Yes. Well, generally, there's two ways we go with the food after we get it. There's the adult table, and then there's the kids' table. The adult table, they usually have glass cups and plates and silverware and maybe a nice centerpiece and a tablecloth. And at the kids' table, we have plastic cups and plastic plates or paper plates. And we have plastic silverware, and we don't usually have a tablecloth or a centerpiece, and we have a lot of fun there. Let me think. So at the adult table, they usually talk about politics and sports and other things of their livelihoods. And then for us kids, we just joke and become rowdy, and we annoy the crap out of our parents. Us kids may argue or tell jokes. The laughter and rowdiness usually drives the adults slightly insane. And usually there's a mess to clean up afterwards, which we get voluntold to clean up.
There's probably a good point to that.
Oh, yeah. One time I was eating with my cousins at Thanksgiving, I think it was, and they put salt and pepper in my drink, and it wasn't the best tasting water. and I noticed it rather quickly, to say the least, thankfully. Do you have any stories?
Well, let me just say, I can imagine you notice that very quickly of drinking salt and pepper in your drink. That would not have gone well for me. I think about the two different tables, and just this last Thanksgiving, thankfully I'm old enough now, I don't know what point that happened, but I sit at the adult table, not always, but sometimes, and at the adult table this last time, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I see this object flying from the kids' table, and I move my head, and this metal car comes flying by and almost hits someone right behind me that's walking out with a plate full of stuff, and one of the kids from the table had just got upset and decided they're going to throw their car across the room. But I looked over and I was like, that table looks like a little more fun. We were a little more serious at the adult table. But I will say I was kind of glad I wasn't at the kid table, because had I been, I was the largest object that would have been there and I would have been hit. So I'm glad I had moved to the adult table for that part of it. But man, kid and adult tables, man, it happens a lot of different places.
Tyler, what do you think we are missing by, or what are you missing by not being at the kids' table?
That's a good question. Some people say nothing. You're not missing anything by not being at the kid table. But I would disagree with that, that the energy at the kids' table is a little different sometimes than at the adult table. Adult tables can be a lot of fun, but man, the energy that that kids and students bring, and the excitement and laughter, you never know what you're going to get. On Sunday nights, we have a meal with our students, so we'll call them, all of them, kids tables. If you sit down and eat with our students, you never really know what you're going to get. What they might say or share is always up for grabs, especially with our middle school boys. You just never know. You walk away and you're like, what were they saying? I don't know. We just go with it. Find out the inside jokes or the little stories that they share that maybe they hadn't shared other places, because they feel comfortable at their table. Even with my family at holidays, I feel like if I'm not at the kids' table, I'm missing out on some great and memorable times. I never know what one of my nephews will say or do. Just the other night, Alyssa and I we had some of our neighbors over. It's kind of our first time to be with them and be around this family. And one of their sons, he's 12, he walks up to me and we're just talking for a minute. And he says, "Tyler, I have a lot of knowledge." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what kind of knowledge do you have?" "Well, a lot of random knowledge, but I have a lot." I said, "All right, we'll share some." And he went on to share things, for one, that I had not ever thought about. Two, that I had no idea existed, but I'm pretty sure had I gone and Googled it, it would have been true. But he was just full of information and full of knowledge. And I was just amazed by it because had I not taken that moment to just talk with him, I would have completely missed it. Simeon, what do you think you're missing by not being by being at the kids' table and not the adult table?
Well, I feel like I'm missing out on some of the family history, the continuing strengthening of relationships with those senior to me. If I don't have the experiences every chance I get, I risk losing an opportunity to learn from their mistakes so I don't make the same mistake in my life. And they also strengthen my relationship with God, and that's always important.
Yeah.
Tyler, where are you leading us with this?
So, just as we're thinking about these kind of two tables, and, you know, too often, the church, the family of God, has kind of the same problem and suffers as a result. It's easy to look at the church and kind of see the same setup. And we even have a little gap here, somewhat on purpose, somewhat not, and we're going to push it here in just a second to show this kind of unity. But I don't even know if it's just two tables. But I've been in some different churches over the years, and sometimes we can even have four or five tables going on at one time. It could be our senior, not just seniors from high school, but our senior adults. We could have just our more middle-aged adults. We might even have a table for our teenagers. We have our table for our kids. And then, who knows, there could be some other tables. And there's so many different things happening. And I think a lot of that is, man, it can be a lot more comfortable when you're with your people your own age. The comfort reality is there. I remember growing up and going to church, and where on Sunday mornings, whether it was my parents and other people in church, they would all say, "All right, we got to go to big church." I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, big church, adult worship. This is where we're headed." And maybe you even called it that as well. I'm very thankful here at Park Avenue that we have started to move away from those terms. And I do feel like Park Avenue, we try really, really hard. You do a fantastic job of not letting the multiple tables be an issue, but trying to push them together. And do a great job of incorporating all ages. And that's kind of just our challenge this morning, as we talk and share, and a challenge to our graduates as well, is just this idea of how do we all work together and come around the same table, right? Because we're already doing a good job, but I think we can even get better. And I think the more that we think about it and the more that we're aware of it, the more strides can be taken to even do a better job of saying, hey, there's not these little compartments, but we are all one. Because when I was younger, it was made pretty clear that I might be invited to the meal. I can come and eat, but I wasn't going to sit at the big table. It wasn't my place. My place was at the kids' table. But at some point, we grow up. I'm not really sure where I hit that point. In youth ministry, you kind of blend in, and so I stay at the kids' table longer than maybe some of you did. But at some point, we grow up. We become teenagers, young adults, and we have to ask ourselves that question of that every family wrestles with. At what point do I go from the kids' table to the adult table? Where is my place? Which table do I belong to? And this is where I believe kind of having the multiple things going can struggle at times and can hurt us if we're not being very, very intentional about it. Because somewhere along the way, young people and even older people, we get lost in the transitions from the tables. And this little gap, as it seems very small here, can sometimes seem way bigger in life. Today we're celebrating our graduates, and man, it is an exciting time for them. For our students, it's a time that they are looking towards the future. And just a minute ago and later at lunch, you're going to hear about even more what where their plans are, what their future holds. And a lot of them are asking this question of, what's next? They have a plan, but they also know that plan could change. Or the little things along the way might have some details that they don't know about. And they also wonder within church of, what's next? What table do I go to? And the truth is that the high school graduate age can not only be one of the most difficult transition times just in life, but it's also a very difficult time as it comes to their faith. As a teenager's faith, this is the point where they are looking at it and they're saying, oh man, I'm about to have to own my faith even more than maybe I thought I already did. Or they realize at this point that they look up and they're like, ooh, my faith probably relied on my parents more than I thought. Research is revealing that teenagers are leaving the church and faith at an alarming rate, especially after graduation. Studies show that students who grow up in church and attend church youth group, at least 50% leave and fall away from the church and faith altogether. Some say it's even higher than 50. Some say it's 60. Some even say 70. And so let's just say the numbers are growing. And I don't know about you, it scares me a little bit. It scares me of what that means for the body of Christ and the church as a whole, of how do we keep our students and our young people in church and transitioning this gap better. And just that mindset. And so, Simeon, does it scare you a little bit?
It's definitely worrying. Teenagers are leaving the church in faith at alarming rates, and the church suffers as a result of this. Because all of a sudden, the church is missing something it needs. It's missing the gifts and talents of young people. It's missing the passion and willingness of the young adults. And at some point, we need to ask ourselves if two separate tables are working anymore.
And I think that's where we want to go today is, and like I said, I think at Park Avenue, we do a really good job incorporating, but we want to just continue to remind ourselves, how do we keep working towards this whole coming together? And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is with his disciples. And he's teaching them about some hot topics of the day. At this point, it's divorce and money. I'll tell you, recently, we've had some hot topics that have been discussed culturally. There have been so much recently of the topics that have been around. And at this point, by all definitions in Mark 10, people would say this is an adult conversation. I've said those words. Maybe you've said those words of, if there's a young kid that walks up and you're like, oh, this is not really for you right now. This is more of an adult conversation. And I've had those words said to me before. And this is what's happening here in Mark 10. What happens, though, is people begin to bring their children to Jesus. And when the disciples see this, they start to shoo the children away. This isn't their place. This is the adult table. After all, they are going to contribute. I mean, how are they going to contribute to this conversation? Shouldn't they go back to the kids' table? I'll tell you, in the last 2 years, as all the different things that the conversations with our pandemic and social and racial things happening and so many things happening, the hot topics have been very high. And we've discussed some here at church, but I will say with our students, they've also looked up and they're like, we want to be a part of the conversation. They want to have, be a part of that. They want to have a say, and they want to, and also just not only they want to be heard and listened to, but there's this aspect of you just want to be a part of it and listen to what's being said and the conversations happening. Jesus, when the disciples and these kids are coming, and the disciples say, oh no, go away, you know, Jesus stops them. And he actually was angry with the disciples. And he says, let the children come to me. I can imagine the look of the disciples be like, whoa, wait a second. Jesus, how are you serious? This isn't really for them right now. We're having a really deep conversation. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. The kingdom of God, my kingdom that I've come here to reveal to you, belongs to these kids too. They are essential to this whole thing. We have a lot to learn from them. And so this morning, we're going to just look at kind of three key points that we want to talk about as it comes to being around this table. And we're as we look at this, this first one I want us to look at is we each bring a gift and talent to the table. I look around this room and there's so much talent in this church. We have people who can sing, speak publicly, serve, constantly looking for ways to give generously. We have encouragers and so much more out there. This is a talented and gifted church. And it's not just included with adults, it's got our students. We've got students running over here with some of, at times we'll have soundboard, we'll have the streaming. There's so much, all this morning we've had students up here. There's so much talent within this church. And it's beautiful. And seeing that around one table is so beautiful. So I want us to look at scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 25, and you can follow us in your Bibles, and they maybe will be up on screen. We'll see. I might have messed up my PowerPoint, so I'll take the blame for that. But this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the body or to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts of the body we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts needs no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should be have equal concern for each other.
What types of gifts and talents can students bring to the table, Tyler?
So our students, as just thinking about what they can bring, and just this blending all together in one body, is our students have so much energy and excitement. If you come in on a Wednesday night, there's no telling what you might see or do. And it's kind of like what I mentioned at the kids' table earlier. Dodge, duck, get ready. Things will be flying. There's a lot of energy within our students. I think of two students that bring a lot of energy. All of our students bring a lot of energy, but two of them, that when they were seventh graders, that I had people come up and say, oh man, they are full of energy. How do you handle that? And I said, like, I love it. So Justin Brandt and Carter Hayes are full of energy. You want to be around some people with some excitement and energy, they bring it. They're laughing because they know, yeah. But they bring it, they bring the excitement to each time that they're with us. As I mentioned about the young man who has a lot of knowledge, they bring a lot of knowledge that sometimes I don't even think about as being important. And our students bring that. You want to have a conversation with someone who knows a lot of things? Talk to this young man. Right? Biblical knowledge, random knowledge, he's got it. Our students can bring so much. They also bring this open-mindedness. They're willing to have conversations and say, hey, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing. I want to be a part of the conversation and talk to me. So there's so many talents they bring. Simeon, what gifts and talents do you think adults bring?
Well, the adults bring wisdom because they've been through more experiences than people younger than them. The wisdom they share can tell students not only how God worked in their lives through difficult times, but the differences between right and wrong, and they show us the maturity that us kids strive to have when we get older. We need community at the table. There are too many different things that take building in God's kingdom. The shared talents and fellowship of the church are what successfully drive us, as Lance would mention, for Texoma and hopefully beyond. We see this ideology in the early church, so why should these same principles not apply today? In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it is written, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in the homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." This concept applies to my life, particularly in band. Denison High School band, for example, requires us to give up all of our free time, hours a day, usually not to the students' benefit. We are one band, and in fellowship we eat together, ride buses to football games together, and perform together. And when you're sweaty in marching season, we smell awful together. We share the joy of music with the audience, just as Christ seeks us to share the good news. As well as this example of fellowship, the sharing of talents we see in the strengthening of each other's spiritual well-being, as it is written in Proverbs, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another," Proverbs 27:17. We sharpen each other's minds and beliefs by asking spiritual questions and then seeking spiritual guidance from those who know more than us. We can then be asked the same question we asked, and with that information, share it with the person asking the question. It's a chain reaction in a way. The same way I use a fire to sharpen my knife as a blacksmith, one person can sharpen another's faith by answering their questions with compassion.
As we keep thinking about just the things that we all bring to the table and being at one major table, so if we scooted this over, it wasn't just a small two tables, but we've got one big table. The third one, the need to share joy of coming to the table with others. We could fit more people around this table now. There's so much joy that can be shared at one table, and as you can extend it and adding different pieces so that more people can be there. Some of my fondest memories of one of my closest mentors is all the time he spent around a table investing in me. We spent over meals, and he would talk to me and share with me, and he was quite a bit older, but he wanted to invest. And he constantly was bringing other people, older people, to come and invest in me as well. And then I would bring friends along that were my age, and he would invest in them, and others would invest, and it was just one of these beautiful things to see. My friend, he understood the joy that came with others of all ages being at the table. There's so much joy when we're all together. I love when we've had the youth ministry join SAMPAC, and or when you see us at the Sweetheart Banquet, or if you come on a Sunday night when we've had our Connect and we have our small group leaders in there and our adults that are working with our small groups. And in the past when we've had Titus, or if you go to a sporting event or an extracurricular activity of one of our students, you might see one of our adults there. Actually, not my. You probably will. Many of you go and invest, and it's a beautiful sight to see, because there's joy in that as you see people walking alongside each other. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7 is just this idea of, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." This idea of walking together in the light. We all need each other, and many of you are teachers in the children's classes, or you are helping youth ministry, or you, and you're walking alongside them. And that's such a beautiful thing, and that's where we have that fellowship with one, because we're walking together. I don't know about you, but I still need other people coming around me, walking with me in the light together. I need all the encouragement, just like you do. And I'll tell you, I mentioned some of the strengths of our students. They are encouragers. And they will encourage you just like you encourage them. And it's a beautiful, joyful thing as we come and share around the table and live life together. In Romans 12, verse 5, it says, "So in Christ, we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We belong to each other. And that's the joyous part about it.
We need adult members to continue investing in our students, and in return, our students to continue investing in our adult members.
And as we kind of finish, because we're getting a little farther on time, as I do want Simeon just to share this morning of about some people who have invested in him. Because as a church, as I mentioned, y'all have done a beautiful job, and I just want this to be an encouragement of keep investing, because you invest in people like this who get up on stage and share. You also invest in people who maybe are not, as our seniors, maybe they're not up here right now, but they're going out into the world, and they're doing some incredible things, and you're impacting them in some incredible ways that you don't even maybe realize and that they don't realize is having an impact. So Simeon, share with us about a couple people that have impacted you.
So I had to pick two people. There's dozens that I could have chosen from, and I'm going to try and pick the ones that I don't talk about the most often. Don Skelton was one of my Titus Project leaders. This man not only guided me through the service to the community, he also led me spiritually. He has been to Israel, I think, two or three times, and I'm very jealous of that. But this fact and the stories he's told me is one of the main reasons I've been interested in biblical apologetics. And now I read books on biblical apologetics, and I'm strengthening my faith through that. My second example is Kyle McAllister. Kyle can attest that my fascination with fire has almost gotten us into a bit of trouble. About 8 years ago, I thought I could make a campfire come back to life by spraying Pam cooking oil on it. luckily, Kyle was there, and he explained that fire can travel up a can and blow us both up. I have several other stories of him teaching me fire safety.
Here's what I will say on that. I would love to hear Kyle's side of this story.
This is fair. That's fair. I have several other stories of him teaching me fire safety, but thankfully his teachings have stuck around, even as I use fire now as a blacksmith. He also guided me in honing my skills of sharing my beliefs and has fanned my flame of serving others.
I think, and Simeon was sharing about that, he does have a fascination with fire. You start one up, Simeon's around. He's coming. Uh-huh. But has grown into something like with his blacksmithing skills. That is now is something that is a part of him. And Kyle was a big part of it, helping influence in that safety aspect. And so it's fun to see these adults come alongside. That if I had to guess, Kyle probably would have never have thought Simeon was going to be a blacksmith. Never. And probably would have been a little worried 8 years ago if Simeon said, "I'm going to be a blacksmith one day." Maybe you were saying that. But
no, I wasn't. But he was very worried.
Yeah. But the impact that our adults and young people can have with each other is so incredible. Graduates, as we finish, so we just share this. This is where this gap, I know, is your thinking is big right now. I want you to know that there are going to be people wherever you move to that want to help navigate you alongside. And if you stay around here, or even if you don't stay around here, there's people in this church that you can call and say, "Hey, I'm having trouble connecting. I'm having trouble getting involved or feeling that connection in faith that we're in church." Call them. They want to walk alongside you. Church, be ready to take those calls. Be ready to help. And guess what? We have a lot of young people that are coming up. And we want to continue to build those relationships. There are 60, 70 plus little kids out in the gym right now that they need us to walk alongside them. It's a beautiful thing, and I love how Park Avenue does and will continue. And we're thankful for how you love our students. And so the challenge is, let's work together. Let's just continue to work together so that for our students, that the kids that grow up here, that they're not part of that 50, 60, 70%. But that number goes way, way, way down, because we want them to be part of the church, not just now, but in the future. Church, we're thankful for you, and I want to pray over our graduates and our church as we close this morning. God, I just thankful for not only our seniors that are here this morning and have made it to this point, Lord, but we're thankful for the people who have poured in, and they are surrounding them this morning. They are surrounding them in love, and Lord, we know it takes a village, and we're thankful for this village that we call Park Avenue. Lord, I pray as our graduates get ready to move on that you will let them be an influence where they go. Lord, we pray that they stay strong in you, that they continue to seek you in all they do. And Lord, as times get tough, like they will, I pray they know that we are only a phone call away, that there are people waiting to walk alongside them and waiting to help them on this journey. Lord, I pray that you just continue to raise up wonderful, great leaders. And Lord, we're thankful for how you just continue to work in your body. And Lord, we pray that not just benefits here at Park Avenue, Lord, but it benefits your kingdom as a whole. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together.